This episode is in collaboration with Parsec Sabres.
This Jedi.
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka Tano.
Recap.
Let's see what knowledge is lurking inside that little mind.
Now tell me, where is Grand Admiral Thrawn?
So good.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions Ahsoka Recap. You know what time it is? It's Tano time. My name is Matt Hudson, aka Jabba the Hutt, and joining me as ever in the cockpit of the Essex Falcon, he's the greatest Star Wars man, fan, and buddy out there. It's Luke Bly, Master Blywalker. How goes it, mate?
Oi, oi, Sabaloi. Once again, mate, once again, it's Ahsoka time. And I don't feel like I'm emotionally or mentally ready to take in just all the absolute filth that's kind of just entered my eyeballs and is trying to process, you know, in my head. So, as always, I'm looking forward to the recap for you know, many reasons, getting to chat to you, but just digesting everything, talking through it and having an idea of, you know, what you think. And oh mate, there is a lot to unpack and unravel. Very excited.
Well, we won't keep you guys in suspense for much longer. What we will say is he's exciting. As per usual, for the last few episodes, we have mentioned that we'd like to acknowledge the WGA and SAG after strikes, and that without the labour of the writers and actors currently on strike, Star Wars Ahsoka would not exist. And we feel that discussing Ahsoka celebrates the work that everybody on the production did without undermining our fervent support for those on strike. Now, if you're new to the recaps, welcome. We hope you enjoy the next hour or so of pure filth. But we must say that these are full spoiler recaps. If you haven't seen part 5 of Ahsoka, it's about 45 minutes long, sans credits. Check it out, then come back and immerse yourself in the session's fun as we dive into this. So final warning, spoilers. Now, part 5 of Ahsoka is titled Shadow Warrior and was released on the 13th of September 2023. It's directed by Big Dave Filoni. Like we said, taking off the credits and all the recaps, it's about 45 minutes long. And it also had its a very short, very limited theatrical release as well for one night only in the States, in London and a few other territories. Two, a lot of hype surrounding this episode, so as it would seem, and a lot of it's actually coming from Lucasfilm and Disney themselves. So up top, Luke Bly, I know you've been looking forward to talking about this episode. I don't know what you think. This has been therapy for me today, and I'll explain why shortly. What did you think of part 5 of Ahsoka?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It really felt like a continuation of what we saw last week. It's the truth. And I loved last week's episode. I really, really do. I think we're 5 episodes into Ahsoka series 1, into this series, mini series, whatever you want to call it, right? Limited series. I think Ahsoka has had the strongest run of episodes of any Star Wars show I've seen. I do. You know, and I adore, as you know, I adore Andor. I absolutely love Mandalorian, particularly seasons 1, particularly seasons 2. This seems to just have a little bit more consistency, whether it's emotionally, whether it's, you know, and I don't know, maybe it is because it's Filoni, maybe because it's Dave Filoni's love child. I don't know. Thoroughly enjoyed this one, mate. Not flawless. Like, if anything, not flawless. Got a few little nitpicks, but they're nitpicks, mate. I'll be honest. Yeah, they're nitpicks. Or it's emotional stuff. It's like, well, that doesn't quite land how I thought it would. But generally, mate, I kind of can't believe it. I think we've seen some really, like, I'll be honest, dude. I think we've seen some really iconic Star Wars today. I think we've kind of witnessed some pop culture history a little bit, you know, and I said that when we saw the end of Mando season two. Do you remember all that?
I do remember.
At the end of 2020, I said to everyone, I went, right, remember today, because today that, like, this is an episode. This is a moment in popular culture. Today kind of feels like it might, I don't know if it's the same, but it's definitely shook the fandom, right? I've already noticed that. Yeah. So tell me, look, I'm intrigued at what you're saying, mate. You said it's almost been like therapy or something. Is that right? Or did I misunderstand what your point was?
I did say that the point was, as is the case for the recaps, for myself, I don't usually go on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, or Instagram, Discord, YouTube, whatever. And today has been no different without looking behind the curtain at all. But I've actually been able to just put my phone down and just watch the episode twice and come up with my own thoughts, as I usually do, but without being tempted to think, what are the lads and ladies out there think? So I'm guessing people out there like this episode because of the images that you said. I thought this episode was very, very good. I really, really, really like this episode. Like you, things here and there, usually more visual or creative decisions, which are kind of thought, story-wise, emotion-wise, nostalgia-wise, let's not beat around the bush there. Fantastic, superb. And there were some bits in this where I thought were, you know, like you said, this is peak visual Star Wars storytelling. And whilst Filoni is he's still learning as a director, and I want to talk about his directorial style later, there were some decisions he made in this where I thought, it's like when you go out for a meal and they bring you a proper nice looking meal or dessert, and you're just like, oh, look at, yes, I want more of that. And I was here for it. A few things here aside, and I do think this particular episode, this part, can essentially be split into two. You've got what happens with Annie, and then what's happening on Setos, basically, and they are two separate things. But I dug it. I'm not going to lie, mate. I had a great time. The question I wanted to ask for you, though, before we kick off, though, is I mentioned the H word earlier on, hype. People were very hyped for this episode, given Anakin's appearance at the end of episode four. It had a kind of one night only fan event theatrical run. Did it live up to said hype?
I mean, there was a lot of hype. There was a lot of hype. I think it did. I think it did. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if to put it plainly, I wouldn't be surprised if everything that unfolded is what people expected. Yeah, like I didn't get a lot from this episode. I was like, oh, shock, horror. That's crazy. What do you mean? That's a surprise. And it's like, no, I don't think I got any of that. I mean, going through this, you know, we'll discover if that is indeed the case, because my brain is all over the place today, mate. Yeah. It's everywhere, right? But I think it went to plan. And I think when something like this, you know, quote unquote, goes to plan, it's satisfaction all round. If you're a Clone Wars kid, or if you grew up with Clone Wars or even Star Wars Rebels, you are eating well tonight. Ooh, if you are a fan of the prequels, you are eating very well tonight. If you're a fan of Star Wars, I'd argue you're eating really well tonight. There is a lot to love in this episode. You mentioned Filoni's directorial style, right? Like, mate, The Last Jedi. I got so much Last Jedi vibes from this episode with not just the directing at times, mate, and the other things too. I was like, yeah, this is a bit Last Jedi. Let's not forget Filoni, one of the first people that trained Filoni in actual filming in cinema was Rian Johnson on the set of The Last Jedi. Love it or hate it. Yeah, there are parts of that film I absolutely adore. There are parts of that film where I'm like, that doesn't quite work for me, right? But mate, I thoroughly loved and enjoyed this, and I'm kind of like pinching myself a little bit to go like, did they really? What, on the fifth episode, did they really do this and that? And but what I love the best, it's character driven. It's all about Ahsoka. It's all about a journey, a hero's journey, faith, spirituality. This episode has all of it. You know, I love that stuff. I eat that stuff up. I'm here for it, mate. Here for it.
He eats it like I do a pancake stack. Yeah, mate, what you've just said about RJ, Rian Johnson, is bang on the money with what I've got on my notes. It's when I was watching this, well, actually, to answer my own question, I think this lived up to the hype on the second viewing. On first viewing, we're going to be totally transparent. I was like, this is good. I think I much prefer episode 4 because I think I was just like, vroom, whack smack in the face with if all the filth that was happening. And then, and also kind of preparing for the recap. And then I sat down and watched it again for the second time and just like you say, just sat down and watched it. No laptops, no notes, just watched that. And then it hit. I was like, oh, this is fantastic stuff. So yes, I do think it lived up to the hype because I agree with you. Nothing happened that we didn't think would happen, or we got characters that turned up who we wanted to, even if it's just for a very quick go type moment, but we got certain moments. But yeah, I've got down as well, this is very Rian Johnson-esque. Filoni shadowed him on The Last Jedi. He learned how to block, he learned how to use the camera to like extend his voice visually, he learned about scale, like wide expansive shots, long holds, pans, all that kind of stuff, and they're all in evidence here. Mostly successful. There were some occasions where he'd hold on a shot for too long, or there would be it felt like a flourish here and there, which I thought didn't necessarily need that. Nothing major, but it's like sometimes simplicity, but I can't knock Filoni's directing here. I do think he's getting better and better and better, but definitely some Rian Johnson-esque shots here. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm a huge fan of Rian Johnson as a director, so I'm happy if Filoni keeps learning from somebody who I consider to be I've said before on this show, he's a filmmaker's filmmaker. He understands film, the philosophy, he studies it, the architecture of film and how to make it. He gets it. Now, whether people like all of his films is irrelevant. I think they're all very well made. But yeah, I think Filoni he's showing his chops now leading up to his film. But we got, like I think you said, yeah, we got what we wanted in this episode. I think most Star Wars fans will be happy. And just to scare a few people, just remember, guys, Dave Filoni's Star Wars is Disney Star Wars. Never forget that. And Dave's doing a very good job. Still not ready to take the company over, but I had a good time watching this. I guess the question is, mate, where do we start? Because it's just a beefy episode.
I mean, where do you start? Where do you start? There's just there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack. You know, it's needless to say, right, that I feel like with Ahsoka, the series so far, the character's been portrayed in a particular way, right? She's been consciously portrayed as, you know, someone who's at times a little bit reserved, maybe a little bit conservative, not always loving, not always approachable, right? And this episode explains why. This episode explains why. And I do think as well, by the way, this is the same Ahsoka that we came across in the Book of Boba Fett and in Mandalorian Season 2. It would seem that this is happening after Book of Boba Fett.
I think so.
Maybe. Probably.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
But I suppose that's neither here nor there until it's actually confirmed. But I think there's good reason to say that actually this is the same character. Just because Ahsoka didn't... She refused to train Grogu. You know, while she's with Luke, she doesn't join Luke or the Jedi. Like, she's still very much free-spirited. She's still, and yet, well, I say free-spirited, really, she's not free-spirited. She thinks she is. You know, live free, don't join, right? Again, Last Jedi. And it's like, well, that's not really how it works. And she's had almost spiritually, especially, like a directionless life. And this episode completely changes that. Completely changes it. So I'm just going to say that from the start, right? We've got Hu Yang kind of round the corner of Stonehenge holding Sabine's helmet, and he's going, I told them to stay together, but they never listen. They never, ever listen. And it's like, oh, mate, that's some, you know, it was quite, I felt the emotion, even though it's David Tennant voicing a droid in Star Wars, I felt the emotion, which is, you know, credit to the character, testament to David Tennant as well. But Anakin and Ahsoka, straight to it. Didn't mess around, mate. Did not mess around. Is it me, mate, or did the CGI deepfake, you know, Anakin face in this episode look a lot better and a lot more polished than the end of last week's cliffhanger? Did you notice that?
Anakin in this episode looks spectacular. Look genuinely good. And I think a lot of the budget for this episode went on him and not in other places, which is fine because Anakin looked amazing. And he was in it for, because we said, like we said up top, this is pretty much, you got Annie and Ahsoka in the World Between Worlds and the kind of, and the almost like the, what's it called, the Scrooge tale, where they're visiting moments of their past and all that. And then you've got Hera and the New Republic on Cetos. So Hayden is in this for probably half of the episode, which is about 20 something minutes, give or take. I mean, I don't want to be quoted on that, but he's in it. He's present for at least half of the episode. He's standing, he's talking, he's fighting, he's running, he's shouting. It's like you mentioned with the Dial of Destiny, this isn't just a static character. He's doing an awful lot. And I'd argue there's probably less work to do on Hayden than there was to do on Harrison. It doesn't matter though. You still got to get it right. And it sounded like Hayden from 2005, specifically certain scenes in the Clone Wars when they're in the battles. That sounds just like 2005 Hayden. There's also the idea that there was a bit of Matt Lanterisms in there. And I think that's a nice wink and a nod, because I know how many people love Lanter. And listen, I don't mean to be that guy. I love Matt Lanter, but Hayden is the guy. Hayden is Anakin. He's my guy. He always will be. It's similar with all the Clone Wars actors, other than maybe Ashley Eckstein, because she is Ahsoka. But he ain't going to beat those live action ones for me. But I love what James Arnold Taylor and Lanter and the lads did. But I think it looked great. I think he sounded great. And I think he was used so well as well to further the story, like you mentioned, to further Ahsoka's character. Originally, when I was watching, I was kind of thinking, right, what's the point of this? You know, we've got these flashbacks, yet we're seeing one of the first battles there involved in. We see the Siege of Mandalore. Kind of thought, well, what is the point? What are we getting from this other than Dave's doing what Dave does, which is kind of lean on his own works, essentially. So what are we learning out of this? And then, of course, we get the lesson learnt at the end is that, you know, Ahsoka wants to live. She has that purpose and that focus and desire to live. This is Last Jedi central, mate. Anakin says, in essentially, I am what you'll grow beyond, he basically says at one point, which I know we'll dive into. And then that's when I realised, yeah, this is fantastic what they're doing here. You know, they're saying a lot without saying much. They're showing us a lot, and how they utilise the different versions of Ahsoka was fantastic. So much of this was good, especially the World Between Worlds stuff, which, as much as I was a bit worried with them bringing it into the show and bringing it back into the canon of the story, the way they used it, I'm fine with that, mate.
Superb, mate. I thought it was absolutely superb. I mean, you've brought it up. You've started this. We're already going to kind of like my essays at the end of my notes, boy. But let's do it. We don't have any order for our recaps, right? There are no rules. And no. I think if there is an episode to do it, it's this one. I echo what you said. I feel like it's more than just like death and life. You know, I feel like spiritually Ahsoka has somewhat been dead or asleep, maybe, since leaving the Jedi Order. She obviously has an understanding of right and wrong, but there's that fear of committing to something, committing to an ideology, which, by the way, she is well within her rights to feel like that, right? Because of Anakin, because of the training from him, you know, he's talking to her about like, look, you're training to be a warrior. This is exactly what I had in my head for you. You know, this is what I wanted you to become, this warrior. And she's like, yeah, is that it? That's what we're training for. That's not what a Jedi is. She understands that. The point of, I think, this episode and the whole flashback between Anakin and Ahsoka is that when you know, if you think about Anakin's or Ahsoka's arc from animation through to live action, she's been learning from him this whole time, right? From Clone Wars, she's turned into a soldier. Yeah. And when you look at that from Anakin's perspective, him being turned into this, you know, machine, this absolute machine that, you know, the separatists feared, he was turned into a little bit of a monster. You're a monster.
Yes, I am.
You know, it's that, you know, that poetry, you know, it's there. You could see, although that wasn't the sole reason for Anakin turning to the dark side, it was definitely a contributing factor, right? So when you have a Padawan, you know, or a child figure, someone who looks up to you, you know, and you're following in their footsteps, Ahsoka's thinking, well, I'm just going to go down that path. That's why she keeps seeing Vader. She keeps seeing these echoes of what could be. But this episode is about, it's not about just picking up Anakin's bad traits, which she does have one or two of. Yeah, and we'll get to that later. We'll get to that later. But she's also learned his good traits, right? Even they use the example in the episode is she has a bit more humor after, you know, she comes out of the water, which is almost like a rebirth. You know, that's just textbook rebirth, yeah. Isn't it? Baptism, yeah. And you've literally got her going into a whale like Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah like and the whale, yeah.
There is so much religious kind of
right there.
Synergy in this episode. It is unreal. It's absolutely unreal. But I think she comes to peace with that. You know, she's letting the Force guide her for the first time in a long time. She's trusting. And that's when at the end, Huyang's like, wait, you don't know where these whales are going? You know, you don't know where the burger. She's like, no, but it's a step in the right direction, right?
Yeah. It's better than doing nothing.
You have to trust the process, and that's something maybe that's been lacking in her life. There is so much goodness to unpack in this, and that's surface level, right? We're not even getting that deep.
No, I hear you, mate. I've just crossed off Jonah and the whale because I had that on mine as well. I was like, it's not unsubtle. Let's be fair, it's right there, but. When you consider the literal baptism and rebirth, essentially, of Ahsoka the White, then it is very clearly an allegory right there and then. And we get Ahsoka the White, which puts paid to what I thought, which I'm happy to be wrong about, where I think the Rebels epilogue, I still think that happened and they've just retouched it for live action, but this actually takes place after. Now they're clearly saying this is when she became Ahsoka the White, but she became... this almost like spiritual leader, spiritual warrior rather than a physical one. And I've got to say, I think the costume looked fantastic. I think the garbs look great. Not so sure on Bald Ahsoka without the headgear on. I thought that was a little bit weird.
I was a bit like, hang on, I had to pause it for a second. Yeah. And be like, what?
They've just used a Photoshop blur line there. I see it right there. It's blurred out. But again, that's not like a nitpick, that's just how the species looks, so fine, whatever. But I love how big they've gone with this now. Well, like you said, we still got three episodes left. We've got this banger. It's a bit like, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. A bit like Andor, where we had the Aldani Eye episode, which was incredible, and that was only like episode 6, and then we knew we had so much more to come. As far as I'm concerned, we've still only kind of dipped our toe in the water of this season. We're only now going to the other galaxy. I know the bad guys are pretty much there, but Ahsoka's only pretty much going there now in the mouth of a whale. We've still got to get to that. We've still got to see Thrawn. We've still got to see Papa Ezra, maybe, if he's still alive. I don't know. We've still got to see Shin Baddy and Baylan again. I miss them a little bit, but only because they hold such a presence. But we've got so much to see still, and that is the hallmark of a great season. I think it is... on an upward trajectory. I actually really like you. I actually really enjoyed the first two episodes, and I think it's only getting better and better as we go along. And I hope it peaks with the finale. I really hope that is going to be bonkers good. But in terms of breaking this down, then, mate, we've spoken a lot about Ahsoka and Annie. Should we just carry that on and should we just talk about the World Between Worlds? What happens with them? The whole Clone Wars stuff, and then speak CTOS and the New Republic afterwards? Because I do think that whilst that is important, it doesn't quite hold a candle to the more spectacular side of this show. And I mean, the World Between Worlds remains a mystery. I said last week that Dave will put a line in to say what the World Between Worlds is. He didn't. So he kind of, Well, he did, I guess, in a way where Anakin said, you know, when she said, what's happened? And he says, you've lost a fight. And she said, I don't remember. And he said, trust me, you're lost. So it does now feel like the purgatory between life and death. Is she actually dying or dead? And this is like last chance saloon. So I guess you could look at that as the line as to say, this is where you are right now, actually. Which is fine. I do wonder how it will come across to those who have no idea what this plane of existence is, because it does feel like a bit of a, not a cop out, but for someone who does not know what Between Worlds is, it's like, well, she fell in the water, ends up in another dimension, and then she's fine again. How does it work? But then that is just, that is a mystery of the world between worlds, isn't it?
And if you think back to the original trilogy, you know, when Luke sees Obi-Wan get killed, and yet he hears this voice, you know, Luke, you know, use the Force. Like, people be like, oh, hang on, what? You know, oh, what, is it a ghost? Is it like, what is it? Is he dead? Isn't he dead? Right. And that's the magic of it. And then throughout Empire, Return of the Jedi, use of Force ghosts, and, you know, the rest of the sequel trilogy even, and a bit of Clone Wars, that kind of relationship with the afterlife and, you know, what else is out there. You know, from Empire Strikes Back, we're told we're more than just like mortal flesh, right? We're more than just this, like matter. Yeah, there's matter. More to life than that. There's more to life than that. And, you know, I think a world between worlds sort of situation, I still don't feel it's as physical as what some people think it is. I think this episode actually might tell us a little bit more about it in as much that I don't think Ahsoka is physically there. I think she is spiritually there. I don't think it's as physical as what people think.
And then we have the whole Jason thing where he can hear the lightsabers.
Absolutely, yeah. And you have Force ghosts. You can see Force ghosts, right? It doesn't mean, like, Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi, right? He's the only one that can see the Force ghosts. He's the only one. No one else can see them, right? Then there needs to, there's more to it than black and white, than physical and non-physical, or ghost and non-ghost. You know, it's more than that. And that in itself is probably like a main discussion, right? That's a deep dive probably for another time. And yeah, I'm glad, I'm kind of happy there's almost like a lack of, you know, specifics on the world between worlds right now. But I almost feel like in an interview coming up, and I know there's been one or two interviews from an old Rebels Recon episode that's been floating about now. Did you used to watch Rebels Recon?
I did.
On YouTube, that dropped up. Man, I totally forgot about Rebels Recon until someone posted it, I think, on TikTok. And I was like, mate, I remember watching this. Like, I'd come home, like, from a trip, like, on Sunday, maybe seeing the missus in Birmingham or something like that. You know, when we were courting during our courtship, we'd drive down and I'd be like, oh, mate, at least I got a bit of Rebels, watch a bit of Rebels. And then I'd get my phone and watch Rebels Recon. And it was all part of the, you know, the experience. And yeah, so I do think in a few months' time, a year's time, something like that, we're going to get an interview with Dave Filoni, who explains a little bit more about the world between worlds, but not too much. Not too much, just a little bit for us to understand. But yeah, that's my 50 pence worth anyway, mate. Yeah.
No, I do. There does need to be a mystery. I would have hated it if when she said what happened, Anakin was like, well, actually, this is what it is, and then went on to basically tell us what this world between worlds was, because I think then that becomes too literal and it takes away some of the fun. I hear what you're saying. I do wish it had just been a line or something, just to kind of basically say what is going on, more so for the casual audience fans. And that's what I worry about. You know, what do they think? Because, again, a show like Ahsoka needs to appeal outside of us, basically the hardcore who know what a space whale is, who know what this world between worlds is. How what do the casual audience think about those guys? I cannot wait to quiz people I know about this. But either way, it is, like I say, it's neither world between world near here nor there. We're in the world between worlds. We got a line which basically says, and when Anakin's like, look, the lesson we've got, I'm here to finish your training. And then he says, you know, you're never too old. Snips. We got a lot of snips during this, which I know a lot of clonies are going to be very happy about that. But essentially the lesson he said is you live or you die, which again, that has echoes of Anakin and his training, but also there is a Vaderism to that. And I love how the episode, you mentioned it, how there's almost like a morph and a transition, sometimes visually, sometimes through word or speak, of Anakin to Vader. Because, of course, this is post-Jedi now. This is post-redemption, quote unquote. But I love the line where she's like, "I won't fight you." And he's like, "Ha, I've heard that before." I was like, "It's Luke Skywalker, Return of the Jedi. I won't fight you." I was like, "Yeah, they're the kind of fun callbacks I like." And what do you think about the saber fights in this between our two heroes?
I really enjoyed them. I thought they were very prequel-y, and I thought Anakin dueled like Anakin and Ahsoka dueled like Ahsoka. And so I thought it lined up really well. I think last week's were better, and there was more variation in last week's one. But, you know, last week's episode was more physical, wasn't it? You know, there's a lot of action. And although there's action in this, it's different. It's different. There's more emotion.
Calm last week as well.
Yes, that's true. That's true as well. That's true as well. Well, I'm not even convinced, you know, that like this is even, like what I said earlier, I don't think this is literally going on. I really don't think it is. I think Ahsoka is probably physically in the water and she's close to death. And before death, she's having like an out-of-body experience, okay? The Force is communicating with her in some way, right? In an ethereal way. And this is her option now. Do you sink or swim? Yeah, what person are you going to be? And it could be that maybe even physically she survives both ways. But if she goes down one route, she comes back the same Ahsoka as before, right? Little bit, you know, not really where she should be. A master with the sabers, but not really a master at being a Jedi master. Yeah, she's not been the best teacher, right?
Bit of a grouch.
Whereas now she can actually be that. Now she can actually be that because she's come to the realization that, you know, just because the past is the past, it doesn't always determine the future. Right? Your focus determines your reality, right? Ooh. Ooh. And I just feel like this episode lines up with so much of the mythology of Star Wars, you know, and that's something that we're just such fans of, right, on the show, on here. And I think just emotionally that it ticks a lot of boxes for me, buddy. It really does. And yeah, the lightsabers were just a part of that. I thought Hayden Christensen was an absolute boss in this. His acting was superb in this. There is a bit at the end where even like his face changes, right? And you're like, mate, this is great. This is really good. This is really good. And
he's got it.
You even said earlier, and I'm glad you said it, buddy. You said that he almost channeled that Matt Lanta, you know, that animated version of Anakin Skywalker, right? And he's dressed like him. At first, when I see him just like running through, I was like squinting my eyes thinking, have they used Matt Lanta here? Have they used like someone else who's not Hayden? And, you know, or are we just going to see like a blur of it? No. He is fully dressed up. He has the right haircut. The visuals on his face line up more. Like he's actually younger. He's even more younger than the Revenge of the Sith kind of era, yep, Anakin, or just before Revenge of the Sith Anakin. Dude, it really does if you've grown up with the prequels, if you loved Revenge of the Sith, and if you love just the mythology of Star Wars, I think there's just so much to love here. Even if you just like the bang bang saber flashy lights, you're probably going to like this episode. If you like the deeper lore, you're probably going to love this episode. Lot to love here, mate. So much to love. Sorry, I don't even know if you asked me a question. I don't even know where we are at the moment, mate. Yeah.
We're in the world between. I'm just happy for you to just to rattle on, my friend, with this pure passion. I'm loving it. You know, Hayden is great here. Hayden bought his A game. I think his acting was spot on. Yes, he's had time to refine his craft, but it shows here. There is some Lanterisms or Anakin from the Clone Wars isms, which I think they bring in very well. Yet it's still Hayden, is still the main man there, and how he flits between almost like light side Anakin and Darkseid Vader, I thought was really good. Like at a drop of a hat, there's it's one moment. Oh my man, when he comes, I'll lead on to this because actually one of the things we're really missing out is the part leading up to this, which is when Ahsoka basically she goes to sort of almost like take him down, and he puts his hands up because she's already sliced his mask once, and she says, oh, you haven't got much more to give. Basically, you old geezer. And he's like, I haven't taught you everything. Shatters the floor beneath her. And then she falls. She's falling through time and space and whatever, and mist. She falls on this sandy planet. And then she stands up. I'm like, gosh, she looks a bit smaller. And then it hit me. This is when I was like, we are in the flashbacks hit now. When this is, I think, 14-year-old Ahsoka. This is a question I asked you on the main show last week. So I think, 14-year-old Ahsoka. And she's played by Ariana Greenblatt, who's building up one hell of a CV. She's literally a 16-year-old actress. Most people will know she was in Infinity War as Little Gamora. She was in Love and Monsters alongside Jess Henwick, who we interviewed. She was in 65 opposite Adam Driver recently. Film was awful, but she was all right. And she was in a show that my kid watches on Disney Plus. So she's really building up a CV, and she's great as Little Ahsoka. I really did think that young Ahsoka here was captured so well. I thought the costume design was very good. I thought the mannerisms were really good, and seeing her and Annie together, and she's like, dude, this is the Clone Wars. He's like, yeah, no kidding. The way he gave that line was bang on. And what this did do, my man, is I don't know if anyone else noticed this. I'm sure they did. I don't want to take credit, but hey, it's our show. I'm going to. But I was watching this. I was like, damn, she looks young. This is what Ahsoka would have been like, an actual kid on the front lines of the Clone Wars. Like, she's 14. And so when we watch the Clone Wars now, you know, I'll be thinking, like, oh, Christ, when you see it, like, literally in live action, you realise this is a child, just someone who's just turned as a teenager on the front lines of the war. And actually, I think this did that better than the Clone Wars did in showing that this is an actual kid. And I'm very glad they did that. And then, of course, they transitioned to the Siege of Mandalore, and she's a little bit older. And again, I think they handled that transition very well. But I would love to have been in the Bly household when Ahsoka falls through the time, and then you realised, oh, wow, that's Little Ahsoka, and this is a Clone Wars flashback. And you suddenly see the clones and hear Anakin scream, forward! I'd have loved to be a Bly on the wall in your house, mate.
It was magic, mate. It was magic, you know, and I wrote down the same thing. It's not right that there's a child fighting in war like that, you know, regardless of if she has special abilities or whatever, you know, it's not right. And we keep getting reminded, right, that she's being trained as a soldier, that she has been trained ultimately for violence. And that's not the Jedi way. We've done an episode before on how in the prequel era, the Jedi, were not right. That doesn't make them the bad guys. They're not the bad guys. They're still the good guys, but it doesn't make them right. They needed a reformation, right, which comes later in the form of Luke, and then beyond that, someone like Rey. I mean, they still have swords, but, you know, they're not going into battle, like leading the battle with a load of troopers around them in the middle of the volume trying to shoot down battle droids you can't really see. Yeah. That aside, I thought it was really powerful. Really, really, really powerful. Loved it. And yet, great choice of wee actress to play Ahsoka. Really, really good. Came across amazing. And yeah, just that kind of real reminder, even in the Siege of Mandalore, she's obviously a lot more powerful, a lot more talented with the lightsabers and that, right? And even then you're like, this isn't right, is it? There is something wrong about this, morally wrong about this. Mm-hmm. And that's what Ahsoka's going through. That's the reason why she's being reminded of this. What's the point of her lesson? It's to acknowledge, like, yeah, Ahsoka, all these bad feelings, they are not wrong. They are right. We are reminding you that you are well within your right to feel like this, but it does not mean that you just can leave this faith. It does not mean that you don't train other people. Yeah. Pass on what you've learned. They are what they grow beyond. We are what they grow beyond. Yeah. Like Last Jedi again.
Yeah.
Again, this episode is very Last Jedi. It's just in as we would say on the sessions, in execution, they're completely different. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one's a film, one's a tea. Like, hang on, let me have a drink. I just said the magic word. I've not even followed mine rule.
Mate, isn't it, mate? Whilst you're drinking, I'll throw that word at you.
No, go on, mate. Yeah. I mean,
that was it. Yeah. It's just thematically, they're similar.
They're very similar. They're very similar. And you feel for Ahsoka. Do you know what I mean? In this episode, you're like,
just sitting by
her.
The fallen clones and tears, and she's basically saying, so many people have died under my command. This is, like, I'm feeling the weight of these deaths. And Anakin's like, listen, loss is inevitable. This is what happens in war. He is in that mindset now that this is who he is. He's a warrior and his job is to end this war. Whereas she is, probably 10 years his junior, a literal kid, who it doesn't have the same single mindset that he has. And, you know, he's like, look, we might be Jedi and these mistakes do bother me that lead to people's death. But, you know, Obi-Wan told me that we were keepers of the peace. And now I need to teach you that. I need to teach you how to be a soldier. And he's joking. And even she's like, how can you joke at a time like this, you know, surrounded by death and destruction? And I think he basically, essentially paraphrasing, says, you know, what else would you have? What else do I do? You either joke or not, or you go mad. And he says, look, if you don't know how to fight, you will die. And then he runs off again. He walks back into battle throughout this mist as Anakin with his blue saber.
That's it.
Flash morphs into Vader with his red saber. Bomb drops back. Oh. Anakin again. There was a couple of those transitions which went so hard. I don't know what Dave was drinking that day, but he was like, do you know what? I'm going to give you a few of these and you're going to love each one of them. And I did. I was like, this is fantastic. I remember in Rebels did it with Palps, morphing in and out of old Palps and young Palps. And I thought that was such a cool visual, but to see it here was great. But no, you do feel for Ahsoka and they really make you feel it in that moment where she is pushing back against Anakin with more of a Jedi mindset. I get what he's saying. It's like, look, we're in this position. We have to do what we have to do, the job we've been given in this position to get us back to where we want to be. But you know, she was like, what happens if I don't want to fight? And he's just not having any of it, but not in it didn't come across in a bad way or an arrogant way. It was just, he was a bit more matter of fact about it. And I liked seeing those two ideologies sort of headbutt against each other. Before we get into, and then we get into the siege of Mandalore, like you're saying, she's a lot more experienced. We see those super commandos with the maul horns. I was like, this is very, very cool. And I like that they had a little nod where he's like, I don't recognize this battle. And I thought, neither do I, because I can't see a thing. But because the budget went on your de-aging, mate. And listen, without sitting on that, I think a lot of it, like you said, is because it's through the world between worlds and its visions and how she sees it, they didn't want to focus so much on what was going on around them.
I get it.
They wanted to focus on them. But
I get it.
On the first viewing and also second viewing, I couldn't help but think, wow, that looks like a soundstage. It just looked very small and didn't look as impactful as a battlefield as maybe it could have done, but small things. But I can chalk that up to, yeah, it was a vision and they just focused on these guys in it. But I love how he says, I don't recognize this battle. She said, yeah, because we'd already parted ways. Now they're calling back to that moment. They've done it before, but it just strengthens that bond now between live action and animation and whatever else. And it shows that this is all one big thing. And I love it. But yeah, seeing the Siege of Mandalore was cool, and seeing all those Mandos, mate, was very, very cool. And a particular clone turns up, doesn't he? Very particular clone.
Oh, we get a little bit of Rexy baby, don't we? Riggedy, riggedy Rex, which is great. Really subtle. Like, if you're not sure who Rex is, you're going to be like, all right, yeah, he's got some cool armor. That's it. Yeah, brilliant. Subtle. Yeah. Loved it. But the people that know, they know. And it's great. It was great seeing phase one clone troopers. Yeah, I think that's the first time we've seen, like, actual people in costume armored up as phase one clone troopers, because in Attack of the Clones they were all CGI, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
So really cool. That is a first, Matt. We're in 2023. And for the first time ever, we've seen Phase 1 Clone Trooper, like armor, right? As opposed to the Phase 2, which we've... We're getting more used to the Phase 2. We've now seen that in a few things. And we even Andor, they've got Phase 2 troopers. I think they're releasing like vintage collection Phase 2 Andor troopers. You're like, all right, okay. I see what you're doing, lads. I see what you're doing. Yeah, no, Ahsoka says, what if I stop fighting? And Anakin replies to her saying, you'll die. You'll die. That's it. Yeah. And I think what I said earlier is it feels to me like that is more of almost of a spiritual death as opposed to, you know, a literal death. It could be literal, but right now I think this whole thing, this whole experience, this whole lesson is to do with Ahsoka's relationship with the Force, with Jedi, with Sabine, with Grogu, with Luke. It's everything, it's everyone, it's the past, it's the future, it's the present. And that's the fight. That's what this is all about. It's not about like, oh, let me try and beat Anakin in the World Between Worlds. It's not about that. That's not what this is. And Anakin even walks away from a scene later saying, well, you've clearly still not learned your lesson. Right, let's step it up again. Let's go back again and start again. Let's try and make you understand what is being taught right now. What is this all about? Love it. And that imagery,
he booted youngling Ahsoka so far back into the World Between Worlds, he thought he was back in the temple again.
Yes. And even visually, you know, you've already said it, but those crosses between Anakin and Vader is beautiful because she's being reminded, you know, is that what I could be? Is that me? Is that where I'm going? It's like, no, not necessarily. Not necessarily. That's the reminder. Listen, should we take a quick break from all of the absolute Ahsoka filth and the brain melting to say a big thanks to the guys over at ParsecSabers.com who are sponsoring this episode. ParsecSabers.com, absolute legends. Met them at Star Wars Celebration. I've been having a little play. Let me grab it, actually. With my Luke Skywalker Return of the Jedi bad boy. Isn't that absolutely gorgeous?
Isn't that the sun model, isn't it?
It is, mate. It is. And it is stunning. You know I love me some Return of the Jedi. Now, I want to tell you guys the reason why that looks filth. What have you got right there? I've got the Survivor.
This is the damaged base variant and... I love this so much, man.
There's nothing like having a cheeky lightsaber in your geek room, is it? Or your office, you know. You know, I'm going to be very transparent about something, right? So I was looking at my lightsaber last week, and I put the blade in, right? And the light was only lighting like a few inches at the bottom. And I was like, I was thinking to myself, surely this, you know, this can't be faulty. I've just got this thing, right? And I hadn't turned it on before, right? So I assembled it. I put the blade in, did the screws up so it's nice and tight, and it looks awesome. I DM the Parsec Sabers guys, right? I'm like, just on Instagram, I'm like, guys, I'm sorry, I know it's really late, but like, I've done this, I've done that. Can you help me? Yeah, I sent them a photo, and they reply saying, what it is, it's probably, for whatever reason, on delivery, and it doesn't often happen, but if it does, don't worry about it. It's an easy fix. What's happened is the setting on the saber is for this type of blade as opposed to this type of blade. I'll be honest, I don't remember. I think it's something to do with the pixel blade or something like that. Basically. I don't know the technical jargon. These guys answered my query and got it fixed. All it was is I needed to go into the saber and change the settings on something. Done, fixed. This thing took like 4 minutes. I am so thoroughly impressed by these gentlemen. They are awesome. So, character lightsabers, if you want 10% off any character sabers from ParsecSabers.com, just use the code Star Wars Sessions. If you want your own Luke Skywalker one, do that, because that the customer service, you're just not gonna, you're not gonna get it from the other guys. You're not. It's superb. It's brilliant. So I just wanted to share that, mate. There you go.
And it was late. It was about 10 o'clock UK time. Yeah. It was late. These guys are probably thinking, work's finished now. We're not going to be bothered by people who can't screw a saber on. Yeah. And then it turns out that they were. But they were, they were very, very helpful. They've been very helpful with me with sorting out an Allen key for the blade for this survivor variant. And yeah, I can't wait for you guys to show it. We are going to be putting out some little vids in that soon, or some images of our sabers. And if you want to grab one, and genuinely, as we always say, we're not going to promote something that we wouldn't be proud to hold or have. And we are very happy to have these. If you want one, like Lukey Boy said, character inspired sabers, 10% off with the code Sessions, and 5% off all other sabers, Sessions 5. Go to parsecsabers.com. Honestly, these things are top tier. And I can't wait for this recap to finish, because I want to go and have a play with the saber.
Yes. Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Same. I'm really tempted to just go out on my street at night time and just have the lightsaber.
Who's this nutter?
That's the dream, though. We could go viral, Matty boy. Parsecsabers.com. Thanks again for the sponsor, guys. Really appreciate it. So, listen, let's get back to some Ahsoka talk. I mean, where do we pick up? We're still in the Anakin and Ahsoka stuff, right? Obviously.
That moment, right? You said where we left off, where she gets booted into the World Between Worlds. Annie loved that. But when he comes out of the smoke back into the World Between Worlds, morphing between Anakin Vader, that was so bad by Hayden. I keep rewatching it. He comes out, kind of shrugs his shoulders like he's ready for a fight. It reminded me of Henry Cavill recharging his guns, his fists in Mission Impossible Fallout, like one of the most manly exhibitions I've ever seen. I love the way he just struts out, shoulder out, and it's time to die, basically. So he tells her, and that precedes a line where she says, I'll give you the choice to live or die, and she just says no, and he just says incorrect. I was like, oh, this is cold. This is you're getting warm Hayden, warm Anakin. And you're also getting cold Anakin in this space. And I think it is done so well by Hayden, who should get all the credit, just as much as I'll give Ariana Greenblatt the credit for doing so well with young Ahsoka. Hayden deserves all the credit for coming back again as Anakin and crushing it. Him in Kenobi, him here, and whatever else he may or may not be in. You know, he's now showing that, yeah, this is Anakin. And they have their fight, don't they? And Ahsoka disarms him, and she holds his own saber to his neck, and her eyes do go red. They do go a little bit Sithy in the moment where she kind of thinks, I could kill him right here. But of course, he's not corporally there, so she wouldn't physically kill him, because it's a vision, a spirit, whatever it is in the World Between Worlds. But I love that. I thought it was a bit odd the way that DeFilone decided to stage how she kind of stole his lightsaber off of him. I thought it looked a little bit odd. It kind of looked like she was morphing through him and then grabbed his saber. I wasn't a huge fan of that, because I had to rewind it to work out how this
what happened.
Took place. How did this work? But whatever, it did. She drops the saber and she chooses to live. And we linger on Anakin for a little while. And then he puts his head up, smiles, says, there's this hope for you still. And that's pretty much the last we get of Anakin in this episode. Well, it is the last we get, but I dig it, man. That is the lesson. You brought it up earlier, mate. At the end of in the Siege of Mandalore, she hasn't learned the lesson, and he says, "Right, we'll go again, back to the beginning." Unleashes the red saber, a la Return of the Sith. And at the end of this fight, she's understood the lesson, his training, and what he's trying to impart on her. And I think it's a really, 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 really well done. You know, he's already told her, "Within you is everything I am, all the knowledge I possess. You're part of the legacy," but she's now grown beyond that, hasn't she, dude?
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say, Anakin says, no, but you're more than that, because I'm more than that. Yeah, talking about kind of this inheritance of, death and destruction being their legacy. And Ahsoka says, yeah, you are more Anakin, but more powerful, more dangerous than anyone else. And Anakin's like, is that what this is about? And Ahsoka's like, look, if I am everything you are, you know, shrug. And then we've got the you learn nothing. And that's the point. That is the point. Ahsoka, this bit of dialogue we've just both mentioned is what it's what this is all about. She still has that baggage of being part of this legacy of fear and destruction. And if you even think of the greater canon, right, if you think of, is it Bloodline, the Leia book, right? Oh. One of the first new canonical books that you know, came out in the Disney era. You've got people finding out that Leia is, you know, is the daughter of Vader, is related to Vader, and people are freaking out. People are like, what? How can you be part of this, like, this criminal, this evil person, right?
This lineage,
yeah, thank you. And to have this conversation between Anakin and Ahsoka where it's like, no, you don't need to be a part of that. You're beyond that. You're not stuck. You're not stuck. And oh mate,
you loved it.
I love it.
You loved it, didn't you? Ryan Johnson had a hand in that book as well. Just to mention his name again, just throw that in there. He loves it as well.
I mean, she never had closure, did she, Ahsoka, from the Clone Wars? And I think we even had that investigated more in, you know, in Clone Wars Season 7 and Star Wars Rebels. She is, you know, quite a well-rounded character, but she still has that baggage. And this episode, this moment, just felt like Anakin had to force her. He forced her to have this kind of retribution with her past self and with the said baggage, and with that she's effectively sinking or swimming. I've already used that analogy, and that's literal and spiritually, you know. And that's why the water is so important in this episode. She spiritually needs to change or die, and Ahsoka's moving on regardless of the fear and uncertainty. And that's why we effectively get an Ahsoka the White, someone who has moved beyond that. She's almost gone past that enlightenment, right, where that fear and that baggage is now behind. That is gone. That is past Ahsoka. Oh mate, come on. Dave Filoni,
just watch this guy go forever. I'm watching my man. He's loving this.
It plays into
last episode. Don't tempt me, Frodo. If we go, we're talking Tolkien. Wow, surely that's the name of a podcast somewhere. But it's got to be talking Tolkien.
Let me check.
It plays into part four, where Baylan says as well, like your legacy, like your master's, is death and destruction, and that's obviously weighing on her mind in this moment. When to like you said, she said, my part in this is death and war. Which is what Baylan said, and she has to overcome that. She has to grow beyond that. She has to spiritually pass that as well. And she does. And I love how they managed to do it in the space of, 25 minutes and still have another 20-odd minutes of episode left. But I think the way this was handled was great. Seeing the Clone Wars flashbacks, I enjoyed seeing like the characters and costume more so than maybe the actual visual side of it. Because, you know, it was a little bit dusty and a little bit vanilla. But I love seeing Clone Wars Anakin. I love seeing Clone Wars Ahsoka. Love seeing the Phase 1 clones. Seeing Rex was great. Little bit ropey delivery from Tim Morrison on the second line, where he has to kind of go, we're going. You could tell that he clearly wasn't on set, but he was literally probably on Skype. He was just said, can you say these lines? He said it. And without the context of seeing the scene, if you rewatch it, it is a bit of an odd line, but... going back to that is what so many people wanted. And I think you mentioned up top is that, you know, it's different people will take different things from this. If you're a Clone Wars fan, then this is more than you could ask for. I think, I mean, I know people will probably want more of this, and I went through the trailers and was looking to see if there's anything we missed out on. And other than, our Blue Daddy, the only thing unless I've missed this, mate, the only thing that we haven't now seen or heard, which is relevant to this point, is Anakin. In one of the TV spots, he has a little monologue. He says, in this war, you'll face more than destroyed. As your master, it's my responsibility to prepare you. I won't always be there to look out for you. Don't be afraid. Trust your instincts. I know you can do this, Ahsoka. Ooh. I don't think we've heard that line, have we? And if we haven't, maybe we're seeing Papa Anakin one more time.
Ooh, maybe. Maybe it'll be Force Ghost Anakin next, you know. So that might be pretty snazzy, right? That might be snazzy. Yeah, who knows? Mm. Especially now that she's more in tune with the Force and the Jedi. And
good show.
You know, that faithful part of it, you know. Maybe we will see a ghost as opposed to the World Between Worlds. Who knows? And maybe that's why something like the World Between Worlds was necessary, because...
Yep.
You know, maybe she's cut herself off from an aspect of the Force, right? Maybe. And I think another thing to take away from this, of course, is that Ahsoka is now more equipped to be a Jedi Master for the first time ever, right? She'll be able to teach Sabine properly, because she's no longer, you know, that soldier that she's, again, got to use the illustration, very simple illustration, that baggage from being a fulcrum, from fighting in the Clone Wars, from being in, you know, Rebels. She's now beyond that. She is this spiritual figure. She can also be a maternal figure. She's more well-rounded. She is more complete. Oh, my. Special, mate. I think we've seen some really special Star Wars today. You know, and I don't think everyone's going to love it. It's not going to stand out to everyone, but like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I love when Star Wars does this. I love when we explore spirituality and you know, faith and the weirder part of Star Wars, and we get aliens as well. So,
So you're pleased.
And you get ships. I'm pleased. And ships. Well, I'll say this as well, comparatively with the last episode or two, I actually concur with you that there's been one or two moments where I'm like, oh, the CG here isn't quite, you know, up to the scratch that what we've been up to scratches, what we've seen in the season so far, right? Like the episode before, I think was a bit stronger. But you know, all in all, mate, I would rather, if it were between like environment and Hayden Christensen looking like Hayden Christensen from the 2000s, give me the 2000s, give me the noughties any day, especially because this is a character, very personal story, character driven story and part of the show. I think it's actually pretty vital that they get that right. Otherwise, it might have been a bit distracting. I wonder if they had to go back to like the editing rooms after last week's, you know, feedback on Hayden. That would be too quick, right? Surely. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they're like, come on, polish him up.
I mean, knowing how these VFX studios have kind of just like whipped to do their work, they probably were. But I mean, last week he was in it for what, you know, 15 seconds. And even though it did look a little bit sheen, a bit waxy, you get away with it. The trade-off is it looks so good in this episode.
So good.
And it does. Like you say, when you kind of quantify it like that, would you rather have Clone Wars flashbacks with funky backgrounds of Mandalore in flames and wherever they are in that first one, seeing all these droids and then, or would you rather have Hayden looking like, yeah, Clone Wars era Hayden, Anakin, sorry. And yeah, you'd much rather have that, because I didn't find myself being distracted thinking, oh, I could see what they've done there. It just felt genuinely, for the first, one of the first times since seeing it de-aging, it didn't notice it. It felt like I was just watching a flashback to a scene that was filmed, well, nigh on 20 years ago it would be now, which is insane. And the funny thing is, Ariana Greenblatt wasn't even alive when Revenge of the Sith came out, which is only one when the Clone Wars debuted. And now here she is playing young Soka, which is very cool. But yeah, that side of the episode was incredible. We've got so many iconic moments, visuals, scenes. We got scenes which look like they ripped straight out of the Clone Wars, with Anakin and Ahsoka sitting right next to, standing next to each other, their arms folded. Lots of cool things to take away from this, which I think a lot of people will be pleased by.
By the way,
the music.
where do you start? the music was sensational, wasn't it? And I think the music's been really, it's been really good for this series. Like, it's been really good throughout. No. To this week's episode, outstanding. And first, I loved it. First use of the main theme, the Star Wars main theme, which they don't use often, but it was when Jason is sitting on the cliff and they're listening. He's like, "Mum, listen." And it kind of reminded me of like Luke and Rey. And it's like, no, reach out. Reach out. What do you see? It's like, it's a similar thing, you know, because Jason obviously has some sort of force sensitivity. I think Hu Yang describes it as abilities.
Yep.
And it's just magic. But even the show's, you know, original music, the Kiner's original music, outstanding. Absolutely beautiful. Whether it was in the World Between Worlds during the visions, it was almost ominous, eerie. There was a weird tone to it that almost told you, yeah, this isn't reality. This is not actually happening. There was some really clever sound design throughout, whether it was, like you said, Hayden, you know, giving us a bit of Matt Lanterisms, or right at the end when Anakin comes to swing for Ahsoka. I've got it written down here somewhere, but it says you lack something. You lack conviction, he says.
Mm-hmm.
That has been mixed. The sound to that was mixed with a bit of Vader. It wasn't just Hayden saying you lack conviction. It was mixed a little bit. And so the whole sound design, the music was tremendous, an absolute triumph for television, mate. I really mean that. It's very good.
Yeah, last week we said kind of score was present and it was effective, but here it was, you know, it was holding scenes by their hand and it was innovating them. It was saying, come with me. We know you're a great scene. We're gonna make it that bit better with the choice of music and the variation of instruments they used, a bit like Ludwig Göransson, and how he doesn't just stick with the orchestrations, or doesn't just stick with that kind of industrial sound, mixes it all up, and that's why he's a multi award winning composer. And Kiner too should get some kind of recognition, hopefully, from the masses now, because I think he's doing such good stuff with this. Music looked great, sounded great. So many cool visuals. There's a shot of Ahsoka, little Ahsoka, when she slices up that Mando super commando. She stands up with her two blades, and it looks, for me, it's Filoni paying homage to the front cover of the Ahsoka novel. Because if you look at that book and look at the way she stands, it is bang on the money how it looks. Again, the book which he kind of helped write, but the Ahsoka novel by E.K. Johnston is a shot of her standing there with her sabers kind of pointed down, and the way it looked was framed very, very similarly, if not identically, to a shot here. And I was like, oh, that's very cool. I also got a bit of Fallen Order vibes, mate, as well. The way Ahsoka's lesson felt a little bit like Cal and Jaro to Paul. Cal, you know, he's going to let. He lets himself go. Jaro to Paul is about to cut his head off, and he's just like, "Nah, you can't. I know where I need to be now." Persistence reveals the path, and all that. I got some vibes from that as well. But moving away from the World Between Worlds now, just to talk a little bit. You mentioned Jason. You mentioned Hu Yang a bit. Obviously, Hera is in this, and Carson Teva, and our boy Brendan Wayne as Lieutenant Lander. But outside of the World Between Worlds, we've got the search for Sabine and Hera going on. And one of my two thoughts for the show kind of came true, in that we got a name drop of Kanan Jarrus, which I thought was so cool. There are photos going around where he's in it. There's a photo of him on the dashboard, which is an old premiere photo of Freddie Prinze Jr., which is hilarious. But we got a name drop of Kanan. My other thought was that we're not going to see Thrawn until the last episode, two episodes, maybe the last three now, but we'll see. But the search for Sabine and Ahsoka, I liked that. I don't think it was too distracting in the sense that most fans want to be in the World Between Worlds watching Annie and Ahsoka. They want to watch these Clone Wars flashbacks. So when they did take us out, I didn't feel like, oh, this is naff. Get me back there. Because we're getting to see a little bit more from Jason now. I thought the lad who plays him, I haven't got his name to boot, but very good. I thought he was really quite good in this. And we kind of had an inkling he's force sensitive, but I like that they're pushing that on a little bit now, and they're making him a character and not just Hera's kid who sits in the ghost. Yeah, he's becoming a guy now, his own little guy now. And I love how Hu Yang says, you know, his father, Kanan Jarrus, was a Jedi. And we're like, yes, he was. And Carson was like, fine, okay, in that case, we'll do what he says. But yeah, I that was kind of the thing I think I liked the most, other than the way it was later on. A bit more Jason, mate, and just fleshing him out a bit.
Evan Witten plays Evan Jason. Witten. Evan Witten, yeah, he's been in Ahsoka, Chopper or Chupa, Mr. Robot, Big Sky. He's been in a few things.
I haven't seen Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I started Mr. Robot and I didn't really. Yeah, I think it was all right, but didn't really stick with it. I was like, yeah, it doesn't really stick out to me as much as other TV shows. And I am watching it. It's a little bit cheesy, but it feels like a 2000s TV show. Hijack on Apple TV Plus. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
You know, love I haven't it. Seen it. You know me.
No, I know. Idris Elba's in it. Absolute boss in
I've
it.
I've heard of, yes. I'm glad you're enjoying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good stuff. And Severance on Apple as well. Superb. Trailer. That's some weird, like, sci-fi thriller stuff going down.
Fan of that.
Back to Ahsoka. Yes. You know how it is. Yeah, so... There's some really nice moments throughout this episode, mate. Hu Yang and Hera have some really, really interesting lessons or chats, or as well as lessons. There's a moment when I think Hera's saying, well, people don't just disappear, do they? Yeah, they don't just vanish into thin air. And he goes, well, Hu Yang goes, well, no, normally, no. And it's like, Hu Yang understands even more than, you know, the human here, or, well, alien, but like the organic creature here, that, well, this isn't a normal circumstance or situation, is it? This is obviously abnormal. This is beyond that. It is beyond that. And lots of nice little details. I thought the humor as well between Hu Yang and little Jason was sublime. There's a moment where Jason, I know, again, I've got it rewritten, written down somewhere, but you know, Jason's like, oh, is that a you have a training room? And he's like, yes. He's like, are you gonna train me to be a Jedi? No. And he's like, do you know how to build lightsabers? Yes. Can you teach me how to build a lightsaber? No. It's just
and Hera and David, Ahsoka just giggling behind him essentially as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and the delivery, David Tennant's delivery was excellent, really, really, really good. But I mean, you talk about Hera being in the background giggling, like Hera, you know, clothed in white, you know, being being clothed in white and kind of being presented as Ahsoka the White, very much showing us metaphorically the rebirth, the reborn of Ahsoka, the reborn form of her. You know, from that moment on, she's a lot more loving. She's a lot more warm. You know, she embraces that hug from Jason. And I'm sure there's maybe even details like throughout this series and nods to this moment that I've not even picked up on. But it's really reassuring. It's really nice to see. Really, really enjoyable, mate. And her whole demeanor, the smiles, the body language, her trust in the Force to go, yeah, we're going in the whale's mouth. Yeah, that's it.
Set it down. What? You find out in the next episode the Purrgil accidentally sneezed and swallowed them, and that's how the show ends. Whoops. I love when she wakes up from her slumber and Hu Yang says, you've got Jason to thank for us finding you, and she kind of looks down, she's like, Jason's here. And I couldn't quite get a handle on whether that's like, what's he doing here, or he's here and he's the one who saved me, or you know, or she's just finding out that maybe something's awoken within him, that like the Force is now showing itself more. I couldn't quite get a handle on the way she said it, but it wasn't just a case of, oh, good, he's here, we can go outside for a cuddle. There was something behind it, and I couldn't quite get a grip on where the emotion was there, whether it was a good or a bad thing for her. I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing, but or she was kind of thinking, what kind of mother brings her son to an unknown planet where he could get sliced up? But maybe it was more of that. But yeah, I liked, you're right, as soon as she becomes Ahsoka the White, the you know, the veil is down, the weight is off the shoulders, it's lifted, and there's a lot more smiles, she's a lot more chatty with Hu Yang as well. She's always had a bit of banter with Hu Yang, but now it felt even more natural especially yeah. with talking about the whale's mouth and that. But the she also has clearly uses psychometry big time now when she takes the map out to the little temple on Cetos and relives the moment where Sabine handed over the map to Baylan and realizes that, oh, she's gone willingly. She's in a way, she's betrayed me, kind of. I can't wait to see the follow-up to that, mate. But the Purgle now, obviously the Purgle is how she's going to get to this other galaxy. Like you said, she sets it down on the Purgle's gob in his mouth, and that's how they're going to get there. But of course, before that, she's got to go outside and commune and tame, for want of a better term, this huge, massive whale. And they say they've set up throughout the show that this is the path they take, the hyperspace route. Hasn't come out of nowhere that they're doing it. And I also imagine a few people will probably say, like the Eagles, you know, why didn't they just do that in the first place? The show explicitly states that they'd had no idea that the Purgles had a route. The Jedi knew, but this was their specific route. They had to find that out by getting the map, this, that, and the other now. So I think they've handled that quite nicely. But whales at times looked a little bit 2000 CGI at the end when they're going around the New Republic fleet.
I agree.
I love the moment where I think her name is Girard. I think as they said, her name was the captain, the New Republic lady on the ship says, evasive maneuvers, like get out of their way. And then the next shot, well, they just got whales all over them. Like, yeah,
I know.
They've got no time to move out of the way. Well, what kind of commander are you? But
Commander Gerard. Commander Gerard.
I'm not going to do a Scouse accent, actually. I've tried on these shows and it never goes down well. So, yeah, so I liked how the main Purgles looked, but when they showed lots of them, I thought it looked a little ropey. But these are things which are nitpicks, like you say, Lukey boy, because the episode was so very good that if a whale looked a bit daft, then so be it. But how do you reckon casual fans, and I'm using that a lot, but I am also, you know, thoughtful of people who don't know the shows, how do you think people who've only seen the films would react to floating whales in space taking them to where they need to be? Do you think they'll get on board with that?
Well, I think this episode is wild. It is just crazy. Yeah, we've got floating whales. You know, we've got the world between worlds. We've got little Ahsoka. We've got, you know, a lot. There is a lot going down. But I would probably, you know, caveat that by saying, well, there's a lot of things in the films. You know, you said the films, a lot of things in the films are just really weird that I think we're just accustomed to, we're used to, and we may even take it for granted that it is just all a little bit weird. Like Return of the Jedi, mate, you know, you take away that opening bit with Vader, you know, and we should double our efforts, and you go to Jabba's palace, it feels like there's like 15, 20 minutes of just aliens and droids and that's it. And you're like, wow, this is a little left field, isn't it? We love like what is on paper, a little bit of a weird thing here. And so I honestly, I think in that respect, it kind of fits in. It fits in with weird Star Wars. And look, some people are going to be like, that's a bit weird. But yeah, listen, if you think that's a little bit weird, you know, would you have watched the five episodes or the four episodes leading up to the fifth installment of Ahsoka? Would you be watching Ahsoka? Would you be watching Star Wars? You know, I don't know. I think that's going to really change from person to person. It is all a little bit odd, I'll be honest. The space whale thing, it is all a little bit odd. And I echo what you just said in terms of some of the CG. Yeah, some of it wasn't the best. And I thought that the Purgles in the other episode, I think the third part, were a lot better. They were hidden by the clouds a lot of the time. And they looked actually a bit more ominous. Here they're just like, oh, you look up in the sky, oh yeah, floating whale. You know, maybe I would have handled it a little bit different. Maybe I would have done it a bit, just add the clouds, hide it. You know, but anyway. And like you said, maybe that's just a bit nitpicky. If that's one of the complaints, it's like, well,
that's it.
You know, it's not really that much of a big deal, is it? If people are happy with some of the CG and like Endgame and Infinity War, mate, yeah, I think we're all right.
Enjoy the whales whilst you got them, you freaks. I want to chuck in as well before we start wrapping, is that, you know, Mothma, we get a bit of Moth in this. she is, you know, as Chancellor, she does feel like a bit of a wet lettuce at times, and that is deliberate. We've already mentioned like the demilitarization. She's trying so hard to not be Palps, which has been established in other things, that I don't think it helps. Like in this scene, she's almost pleading with Hera at one point, because we learn through the episode that the New Republic know that they're there. It's an unsanctioned mission. Carson at one point name drops, which I'm really pleased that he did. He said, Senator Organa can't cover for us forever. So glad they acknowledge that Leia is out there. This huge member of the rebellion or the New Republic is out there. So that was cool. And but it finally catches up to them when she's on a holocall and Mothma says, listen, basically, please, Hera, tell me you've got something. Have you got any evidence of Imperial Remnant activity? No. Yeah. Have you got Morgan Elspeth in custody? No. Have you got any evidence of Thrawn at all?
Yeah.
No. And she's like, she said, well, I'm going to need you and Ahsoka to come back to Coruscant because the Senate are now deciding whether to suspend your command permanently, and you're going to need Ahsoka's testimony. And of course, immediately after that, Ahsoka comes in like a giddy school kid. She's like, I know how to get to Sabine. The only person who can give a testimony to help Hera has just gone off in the mouth of a whale to another galaxy. So I think in the next episode, we probably will see Hera potentially get stripped, maybe temporarily, of her command until they realize something is happening, because the one person who can help her is now gone. I think that's going to come back and play into it a little bit, though. I mean, like people like Carson Tevor and Lieutenant Lander Brendan Wayne, they did see a massive, huge hyper ring jump to hyperspace, kill two New Republic pilots. I mean, there's a little bit of evidence and testimony right there, Mothma, but it just goes to show to me that she, you know, she is not the one ruling with a firm hand who can tell the Senate, no, this is what I'm being told. I believe it. She's kind of a lackey to the people that we saw on that panel in the first couple of episodes. And it's the New Republic, man. They stink. New Republic are just the Empire in new clothes, a sheep in wolf's clothing or whatever it is, a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're banging the money, and even some of the visual cues for the New Republic, like when the ships turned up, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I was like, oh, they usually reserve that angle for like when Star Destroyers turn up. It felt almost a bit Imperial, and it's like, well, and this isn't the first time there's been a little visual wink, right, to the New Republic is just another iteration of oppression for some people. You know, it doesn't mean they're as evil as the Empire. That's not, I don't think that's the point here. I think the point here is ultimately politics is ruled by, or the political systems are ruled by imperfect people that make imperfect choices and are open to being corrupt and corruption. And it's this idea that I think in this episode, you've got very much an imperfect political system that's failing, that isn't reasonable, that isn't working, versus this spiritual journey for Ahsoka, which is very much going to work, which is very much going to lead to a good thing or to happiness or, you know, enlightenment. And you've kind of got this juxtaposition of the two ideologies or you know, maybe even theories. It's deeper than what it seems. And I think, it's conscious. Oh, as well as being part of the story, it's obviously telling us, well, one's working, one's not that well right now. So, yeah, it's interesting, mate. Mon Mothma, it's great to see, though. It's great to see all of the cohesion of a galaxy far, far away, all of our
synergy.
Coming together, the synergy, mate. Oh, absolutely love it, mate. Absolutely love
here it.
I am here for it. I'm the New Republic stuff. Even seeing like the New Republic sign on the side of the starship and stuff, you're like, oh, mate, this is sick. It's just the confirmation of what this massive galaxy and this massive story that even if you read the, and I know I moan about this, but the books and the comics, it all contributes to that. It's special, mate. Very special. Very special. Carson Teva, what a lad. What a cheeky lad. Yeah.
A lad. Yeah, I love him trying to stall the New Republic officer as well. And it's just really badly. He didn't do a your mum joke like Poe Dameron did, but You know, Carson's got a bit more class. Clarson, Tivo will call him. He didn't learn too much from Ryan, so as it seemed. But, yeah, no, I enjoyed it, mate. Some cool things about Hera. Hu Yang says, you know, the way she cares about things is why people like her so much. And we find, and like we just said, she can't make the jump. Hera and Jason aren't going to this other galaxy. But Ahsoka's promised to find Sabine and Ezra. And she signs off Hera with, "May the Force be with you." So, and that, like you said, it kind of also wraps up the fact that she's now found the Force again. She's at one. She's at peace with the Force again, Ahsoka. It's a nice way to end it. I reckoned that we aren't going to see, we're not going to be getting too Thrawny into episodes 7 and 8.
Yeah.
What, I mean, I don't know now. Can you see Thrawn finally appearing next week? Because he, other than that line from that little tiny little speech from Anakin, we've seen everything. So I've been through the trailers and the TV spots, other than Thrawn and that little speech from Anakin. Are we going to see him next week, or is it going to? Because I mean, surely we're not going to have an episode in a whale's mouth of Ahsoka just talking to Hu Yang the whole time. I speculate responsibly, but what's going on? What's going to happen?
Listen, if we can get the episode of Clone Wars where there are just the droids in the void, just, you never know, we might get Ahsoka and old boy just in the tongue. Yeah,
imagine.
Listen, never say never. It's an interesting one. I wouldn't be surprised if they save Thrawn to the end of the next episode, or maybe the last two episodes. Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised. But if I'm being honest, mate, I have a lot of faith in this show now. Five episodes. It felt like five episodes of consistency, of being able to deliver emotionally, action, dialogue, characters, interesting takes, and also different perspectives on things. I think I said last week or the week before, interesting perspectives on things that we already know and already understand about the Force and Star Wars, and really what was George Lucas's original vision for Star Wars. I think Dave Filoni understands. He understands. You know, he's not perfect. He's still training. He still even says he's a Padawan. And I don't know. It's hard not to like him, really. When he delivers episodes like this, when you see him at Star Wars Celebration and the way he talks and, you know, the way he takes his hat off, and you think, oh, he's a sweet guy, you know. And then, you know, he just delivers episodes like this. You're like, yeah, okay, he's not perfect. He's not going to be for everyone. But my days, this guy, I do genuinely believe, genuinely now, he is the closest thing we've got to George Lucas. And sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. But, on, you know, today, for better.
Yeah, he is the new Lucas. He's George's apprentice, and he'd say that himself, and that isn't a bad thing at all. And it is nice to know that in this new era of Lucasfilm, obviously we've got legends like Doug Chang and the gang, but to know that there is someone so intrinsically tied to George as Dave was, still there, and steering the ship in a lot of ways as well, creatively, that's never going to be a bad thing. Does he lean too much on what came before? Yes, I think he does. But play to your strengths. There's many other directors who give you the same old each time. Not that Dave does, or he's only done a few things. But what he's given us, though, he knows what fans want, and he's given it to us in the right dose, I think. This could have easily been a World Between Worlds episode of just full-on Clone Wars goodness and everything else. But no, he knew that he can't do that. He has to push the story forward. He has to give us a little bit more about Jason. Give us a little line from Carson. Show us the space whales. Just other things. He knows that Star Wars fans do just want like pew-pew sometimes, but he's aware that it can't just be that. Let's not forget, he's given us over 200-odd episodes of animated goodness, mostly anyway. So he knows how to craft a story in an arc, but it's great to see him getting his just desserts now in live action, and the emotion that how emotional he gets when he's on stage at a Celebration and the fans are cheering. And like you say, he takes his hat off, and the guy's welling up on stage because he loves Star Wars. He loves the fans. He knows what it means to us. He is one of us. And when you get a day like today, when you get an episode which is as pretty damn good as this one, then it all comes together to create a really beautiful autumnal pie or crumble.
Oh, don't.
I don't know how we're going to rate this one, mate, but I think I'll probably let you go first.
Well, I just want to say this as well. You know, when the episode ended, I was genuinely sat there wanting more.
Nice.
Genuinely, you know, and I've felt like that with every episode, but today I audibly was like, oh,
I need to know. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like, oh yeah, I'd love more, you know, now, but no. Today it hit hard and it was, I was frustrated. I was like, really? Another week. And that's
through his toast against the wall.
Listen, I think we've got a new Ahsoka. We've got Ahsoka the White, who is now going to be going into this challenge, you know, probably the toughest challenge of her life yet. And we've got a cracking couple of episodes left. Three episodes left. I really feel like they're going to be strong. It's this episode, this season has just been so strong so far, so consistent. And let's see, mate. In terms of ratings, I mean, by the way, I don't have any theories. My theories are almost like, I'm not even that bothered. I'm like, yeah. I just want to see. I'm happy.
Well, we know what's coming, don't we?
I'm enjoying the ride. Yeah, and we do know what's coming. Also, you mentioned this up top. I'll mention this to close out. All roads lead to the sequels. Right. It's going to the sequel trilogy. That's where it's going. We all know that. And also, Dave's film. I'm really, really excited and proud of Filoni. And I think he could, I really do. I think he's going to make a great Star Wars film. I really do, buddy. Oh. I really do. This guy just keeps coming on. He keeps coming on leaps and bounds, man. This guy come from animation. He came from Avatar The Last Airbender. Come on, credit where credit's due. This guy never left school going, yeah, I'd love to get I'd love to be a live action director. He's become that, and it's been so organic and wonderful. It's been an underdog story. Dave is almost like the hero's journey, and there's so much poetry to it. And it's like you said earlier, George knew him, George loved him, George was his master, and it's so refreshing to see this and to be alive while this stuff is coming out, mate. I view it as a privilege. So thank you, Dave Filoni. Thank you, Lucasfilm. And I know people listen to this show who even have work on the production of Ahsoka. Thank you. Thank you. My score. I'll shut up now. My score. Honestly, I'm going to keep it consistent. For me, it's a near perfect episode, with the exception of, as someone from the prequel era, seeing Anakin, seeing all of that, I didn't grow up with Clone Wars, so maybe the emotion didn't hit me as strong as it will hit others. I didn't cry. I didn't get too emotional like I did for Mando season 2 finale, right?
I always say that,
but that's just me. Just being very honest, being very, very transparent. For me, mate, straight up, Ponderbabbers, 9 Ponderbabbers out of 10. It's a 9 out of 10 for me, again. Which is what I gave last week's, by the way.
Yeah,
so it is. Let me chuck it over to you, buddy. What are you saying? How are you feeling?
I'm struggling. Genuinely, the whole episode, I've been dreading this moment, because first viewing, I preferred part 4. Second viewing, I'm like, this is it. And then I'm trying to weigh up now between what I loved seeing like the prequel boys and us were singing and dancing. But I want to try and almost like absence that from the quality of the episode. So I think, based on the quality of the episode and how much I was just like fist pumping through it, I think I gave last week's episode a 9. I'm going to be a right pain. I'm going to give this one an 8.9.
An 8.9
out of 10. I just preferred last week's one because I think you mentioned it earlier on, and it was the variation. You know, you had different fights between different people and different, and you, Baylan and Ahsoka, their chats, what's going on with Morgan, Shin, Sabine, even Hu Yang throwing down with those droids. There was just so much going on, which really furthered the story. I was like, this is fantastic. And there was just so much joy in it. But then this one, yeah, you get Clone Wars, you get Ahsoka and Anakin in live action for the first time ever, like next to each other, looking boss. Outside of the World Between Worlds stuff, I think the episode was good. The World Between Worlds stuff really elevated this episode for me, whereas I think last week's one was just a consistent tour de force as a hurricane throughout. So just going to give the edge to part 4, and this would probably be my second favourite episode going in. but they've all been they've all had high scores. And mate, we've got three episodes left. Baylan, Shin, Ahsoka, Elsbeth, Thrawn, probably Ezra, Ahsoka, Hera, Mothma, whoever else they're going to. But we've got all of that to come yet. And that is a guarantee to come. That ain't speculation. That's what's coming in the next three episodes. How are they going to tie this up? I've got no idea. But like you said, I've got faith. I trust in the Force. And I'm just along for the journey now, mate. Theories and speculations are fun, but I'm just here to see what they give us.
Love it, mate. Absolutely love it. I've got one last question for you.
Go on, son.
Keep it short and snappy, because I know we both got to go use that toilet. Yeah,
you know it.
Do you think we will see any other people from the Mandoverse pop up? Are we going to see a Din Djarin? Are we going to see Grogu or Boba Fett? Or do you think that's just like not even on the radar now, or not that bothered?
I'll give a very short answer. No, I don't think so. Because I think a lot of the stuff's going to be happening in this separate galaxy of which nobody else can get to now. So if we do see them, it would be like Din debating in the Senate or whatever, or whining and dining Mon Mothma to try and get the change of mind. So I don't think so. I think the characters that we have seen are the ones we're going to get. If they do, if Thrawn would have to come back to this galaxy, and then they'd have to call in the reinforcements, which might seem a bit Avengery, you know, get the gang together. But I don't think so. I don't think so. But what about you?
I think we might. Hot take. I think we will in the last episode. And right at the end, when like kind of the challenge of this series has kind of been, you know, accomplished. But then at the end, it's just going to remind us that this is part of a shared narrative. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Good
mate.
Show.
That's what I'm thinking right now. What an episode. What a recap. I love doing this, mate. Love recording these and kind of having this therapy, talking through new Star Wars and getting our opinions on it, our thoughts on it. It's great fun, isn't it, mate? Really is good fun.
We love it. We are. Now, I say finally, I've loved not going on social media, but I'm going to go on it now and see what the world is saying, and hopefully they're enjoying it. But we'd love to hear your thoughts on it either way. You know, we're here for all opinions, keep them clean. We'd love to know what you thought, because that is that for this episode of the Star Wars Sessions Ahsoka recap. The fun doesn't end there, because we're going to be back next week, guys. No one's ever really gone, not us. Where can the world find us, Master Blywalker?
They can find us at starwarssessions.co.uk. That is our swanky website. Search for us on Instagram, Twitter or X, whatever it's called, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, just search Star Wars Sessions and we will be there. Send us an email to hello@starwarssessions.co.uk. Send a message, maybe a cheeky voicemail. And also don't forget about our Patreon, guys. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/Star Wars Sessions. We've got tons of bonus content on there, monthly shows. It's great fun. At the end of this month, we have a watch along. We're all having an online watch along on Zoom. It's going to be great. It's The Force Awakens, 7 o'clock British time. It's going to be great. Bring a beer, bring a cup of tea, bring some snacks, and get ready to chat some filth. All opinions welcome. Just be nice. That's it. You know it.
That's it. All roads lead to the sequels, and as does our next watch along. Looking forward to it. If you want to support the show for free, though, just keep doing what you're doing and listening. And please do leave us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast provider of choice. If you're on Spotify or Apple now, one that's easily accessible to do so, scroll up, go on, hit that 5 stars, not 4, not 3. We don't care for that. 5 stars. Look, you've already done it by the time I finish talking, because those 5 stars, they help the show grow. They do get new listeners in, and it really is another way for us to hear from more of you each and every week with those spicy comments you leave us.
And please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell your cats, tell your Ewok. Tell Anakin Skywalker. Oh. Tell your cousin, the more the merrier, their castle spice. Yeah.
Yes, tell Jamie Richards' wife, who told him off for saying the word Beerio at a family party the other day, that this is the podcast you're looking for. So until next time, from me, see ya. And from Luke.
May the Force be with you always. I need some context on that story, mate. What are you talking about?
Well, this is what happened. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.